Welcome back to the evening audio of the ninth day of Christmas. We're going to be looking at the second of five things that you should know. Yesterday we looked at the first thing you should know, and the first thing was that you are a victim of educational malpractice. In particular, we looked at three things that were banned from your government-approved education. Today we're going to look at the goals that Samuel Adams would have for you if you could travel through time and talk to you today. We're basing this on the first letter that Samuel Adams wrote to Americans through a network of correspondence known as the Committees of Correspondence, sort of a prototype of the internet, you might say. Back in November 20th of 1772, the letter was reported to a town meeting in Boston, and these letters that Adams wrote through the Committees of Correspondence were part of what made him known as the father of the American Revolution. This is 4 years before the Declaration of Independence, and Adams is already briefing the basis for the American Revolution. In his letter, which we have a link there where it says the first letter on your webpage there, in his letter, he made 3 points, and he was basically saying, we need to stand up for these three things. And the three things he said we need to stand up for, preserve, guard, and protect are the natural rights of the colonists as men. I guess we would say they're as creatures of God. And then second, the rights of the colonists as Christians. And then thirdly, the rights of the colonists as subjects, British subjects, as Englishmen. And as we look at this letter, we'll find out that as victims of educational malpractice, we can barely understand it. But it is certainly something that Adams expected his readers to be able to understand. He was writing this letter, circulating it through America, trying to generate enthusiasm for the idea of really declaring our independence from Britain. And these were things that Americans understood. Remember the Federalist Papers, a defense of the Constitution, something that sometimes is assigned to law school students to read. And whenever this happens, the law school students routinely criticize it or complain about how difficult it is to read and understand. The Federalist Papers were simply articles written in a typical New England newspaper, sometimes directed just to ordinary farmers in upstate New York. Not to law professors, just to ordinary Americans. But as I said yesterday, we are all victims of educational malpractice. So let's briefly scan Adams's letter and see what we can learn from it quickly. And I'll leave it to you to read through it. And we've got a lot of resources connected to this letter. So there's an avenue of study here for you. He talks about the natural rights of colonists as men. By natural, he means appearing in a state of nature. And by state of nature, he means human beings just in their families with no state. Okay, before human beings get together and form a state to protect their rights, they exist in a state of nature. The first thing we should say is that the whole concept of rights has proven to be a very dangerous, toxic poison or cancer on America, because it has led to our entitlement society, our entitlement way of thinking. The Bible doesn't say you have a right to life. It simply says that everybody has a duty not to kill you. The Bible doesn't say you have a right to property. It simply says that everybody has a right, has a duty not to steal from you, because God has made you steward of that property. In other words, we don't have rights. What we have are duties. And if you have a piece of paper that says you have a right to life, but everybody around you thinks that they are their own God and they can kill you if they want to, if you're inconvenient or in their way, you don't have any rights. Rights exist only when a society obeys God's commandments. And that word society is an interesting word. And we've got some notes there on the word society as Adams uses it, because there's a difference between a society or an association of human beings working and networking together and a state. A state did not exist in the law in the state of nature. A society can exist in the state of nature. But then that's a different thing from a state. Now, Adams also uses the phrase civil society, and in that case, he sometimes is using it as a synonym for the state. It's ambiguous, and you have to be careful. Sometimes society means civil society, and that means life under a state. But human beings can form an associative society without a state. Now, toward the end of the first section on the rights, the natural rights of the colonists as men, he starts talking about religious freedom and religious liberty. And then he moves into the second section, which is his exhortation that Americans, the colonists, need to stand up for their rights as Christians. And it's important to see that the Revolutionary War and the founding of America in the 1700s, the framing of the Constitution and so forth, were not the actions of atheists. They were the actions of Christians. And it was a Christian worldview that undergirded the founding of America. And we can see that when Adams appeals to the rights of colonists as Christians. Then Adams says that we need to protect our rights as Englishmen. And he talks about what Parliament is trying to do and why it's unfair that a body, legislative body 3,000 miles away, should be able to deliberate and dispose of property of Americans and theoretically our posterity to all generations. So there's Adams' argument for what eventually turned out to be an argument for independence. We should take this and run with it a little bit. Instead of speaking of our rights as men or as human beings, we should speak of our duties. And when we speak of our duties, we're basically talking about how to become a truly human being as God created us to be, an extraordinary human being. And when Adams talks about the rights as colonists, as Christians, we should talk about being an extraordinary Christian. And when he talks about the rights of the colonists as Englishmen, of course, today we speak of ourselves as Americans, but when we think of America, we think of a land that limited its government, chained the government down with the Constitution, and it was the limitations on government, making it much smaller than it was in Europe. And that is what made America the most prosperous and most admired nation in history. The fact that we were Christians and the fact that we were distrustful of the state. And that's our goal, I think. So the second of the five things you need to know are the three challenges of Samuel Adams. The challenge to become an extraordinary American, an extraordinary Christian, and an extraordinary human being. So I hope you'll take some time to check out the work we've done to annotate Adams's letter from 1772 and find out if that helps you become an extraordinary American and a defender of liberty and a critic and a distrustful critic of the state, an extraordinary Christian, and an extraordinary human being. And that will wrap up our evening audio for the ninth day of Christmas. And we're going to just keep going through the Christmas narratives in the morning and the five things you need to know that America's founding fathers and maybe the Protestant reformers and people that you should admire from long ago would say you need to know. Five things you need to know. We'll look at the third of those five things tomorrow as we celebrate the 10th day of Christmas.